Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today for the month of May. And I'd just like to thank everybody for coming out, because I know you could have been somewhere else, but you chose to come here. And I always tell, as we talk to the prisoners, because, you know, they could always, up at Craven when we go up there, they could always go watch TV or go outside or whatever. But when they come to the church service, then they're choosing God over that. And any time we choose God over doing something else, He chooses us even more. And so, in other words, I just thank everybody for coming out to the home group meeting, amen. Well, let's go ahead and take care of an issue that from the last home group meeting. Brother Gary did an outstanding job, and I really enjoyed what he had to say. But you know what? And he was talking about judging, but, you know, there's a difference between judging and passing judgment, amen. Yeah. There is a huge difference between judging and passing judgment. And actually, we as the body of Christ, we need to judge. That's one of the problems with the body of Christ, is we're not judging situations. We're not judging things in our life. We're not judging some people maybe that we need to not be around. So a lot of these areas in our life. Now, we're not supposed to go ahead and pass judgment. That is God's area. But in our life, we are to judge situations and circumstances in our life, because the end of judgment in our life is always a separation. We go ahead and we judge this, or we judge different things in our life, and then we look at those spiritually, and then we decide whether we want to separate ourselves from that situation or separate ourselves from this going on or whatever, so that we can go with the Lord. So spiritual judgment is very, very important. Who has John 7:24?
I do. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Wow. Judge righteous judgment. So here God is telling, that was Jesus telling us to judge righteous judgment. So we're not supposed to just to judge this or judge that. We're to judge righteous judgment. And righteous judgment is the weightier things of God, mercy and grace and faith. We're to judge these things, preferably about us. Are these things in us? So again, it's not about passing judgment on somebody, but it's about judging things, because if we judge things, then we will not be judged, the Bible says. But if we judge things, then we won't get caught up in the mess. There's a lot of things going on in churches and all these other places. And so if you don't judge these situations spiritually, then you're not going to get caught up in that stuff. Amen? Amen. Who has Mark 12:31?
Me. Mark 12:31. And the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Amen. So we kind of started talking last about who our neighbor was. And we were making, and someone made the analogy that our neighbor was the person that lives next to you. Well, that's not true. That's not what Jesus was saying here. Jesus, our neighbor, and that's the Greek 41:39, that our neighbor is Christian friends, the household of God. Those are our neighbors. That's the people that we are to love. And it's very, very important that we love the household of faith. And of course, you're supposed to be friendly with everybody, but we're supposed to be neighbors to our Christian friends, because that's very, very important. Now, what kind of love are we supposed to have? Because we talked about love then. And then that word love there in Mark 12:31 is an interesting word. Well, the Greek has 12 words that they use for love. We use one word, love. The Greeks have 12 words, like agape, very, very famous, you know. And that is not the word that Jesus used. The word agape means dedicated, that we lay our life down for our neighbor. Well, would you lay your life down for your neighbor?
No.
No. I wouldn't lay my life down for my neighbor. You know, I wouldn't dedicate myself toward my neighbor. And that's not the word that Jesus used there. He used agapeo. Agapeo. And that's Greek 25. And agapeo is a social or moral love, a friendly love, which is different than philia, which is another Greek word for love, which means a friendship or to be fond of. So Jesus was saying that we are to love our neighbor, because our neighbors is the household of faith, and we are to be friendly with them. We're not to lay our life down. There's only a few people that I would lay my life down for in this world here. My wife is one of them, and so we really need to, we really need to understand what's saying and not just jump in there and just love everybody. We need to love everybody according to the way that God wants us to love everybody. Amen?
Amen.
So now we have that understanding a little different. And so it's, I think, so enough said about that. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at, we looked at two months ago, some notes from there, and then we were going to go ahead and get into what the Lord has tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And so 2 months ago, we saw there's nothing new under the sun. The older I get, the more I see there's nothing new under the sun. And here, Paul was calling out the Judaizers, and you'll find that that message in the first 3 or 4 chapters in the book of Galatians here. And it seemed that deception always seems to be going on in the church. Amen. That always, there's always been a deception always going on in the church. And, of course, that was what is going on in Galatia. And we saw, though, that even the church in Galatia, all the wonderful things that Paul wrote, and the people just turned away from that. Amen? Anyways, the second point we saw that either Christ must live and the law must die, and to muddle the two eliminates the gospel of Christ. Let me say that again. Either Christ must live in us or the law will live in us. One of the two will live in us. One of them must die. And if one of them does not die and we muddle them, then the gospel of Christ is made of no effect. Wow. That's a tremendous truth. And we need to let that sink in. Either Christ will live in us or the law, the religious and doing this and doing that, all of those things will live in us. And if that happens, then that will eliminate the gospel of Christ. Now, we're going to look at the gospel tonight of Christ really good. Now, remember what the gospel is. The gospel is just the good news. That's all the gospel means. But we have taken that word gospel and we have somehow transformed that to mean something than more than what it is. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul calls that the gospel. Well, that's the gospel because it's the good news. Mm-hmm. It's good news. It's hard to believe, but it's good news. But believing the gospel won't save you, but believing that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead, that's what will save you. Wow. The third point we saw is the main verse in which we are saved is Ephesians 2 and 8. Ephesians 2 and 8. And that is, that we are saved by grace through faith. Now that is the verse in the New Testament that we can pin our salvation on. Now you could walk the Romans road and do all of these things, but that verse there narrows it down that we are saved by grace through faith. And actually, if you really think about it, everybody in this room has been saved under Paul's ministry. Wow. That's Gary Horn. I'm sorry.
I'll text him.
Yeah. Okay.
No, just leave it. I'll text him.
We all have been saved under Paul's ministry. Because Paul went to the Gentiles. Is everybody here Jewish? No. Okay. So anyways, Paul went to the Gentiles and we're all Gentiles. And because of Paul's ministry, then we have been saved down the line, which is a wonderful truth. The fourth point is, when we teach false doctrine, we are misrepresenting Christ and His Word and keeping the truth from well-intentional people. So many people, so much deception, so many false teachings, and the danger in that is we are misrepresenting Christ, and then we are keeping the truth away from good, good, well-meaning, well-intentioned folks. Number five, the true heart condition to ministry is the Word of God is seen from Galatians 1 and 10. Oof, we missed a verse. Sweetheart, you have a 1 and 9. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Galatians 1 and 9.
I've got that one.
Okay. Amen. Galatians 1 and 9.
Paul wrote, as we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you the gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse.
Amen. Okay. So now that's in Galatians 1 and 9. So that's what Paul was talking about. If anybody believed any other gospel, any other message, anything else, if you believe anything else, you cannot be saved and you will be accursed. And accursed there means you will be doomed. The only way we can be saved, believe it or not, is believe in Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose from the dead. And that is the gospel. But the gospel can't save you, but believing those three things, that's what will save us. Amen?
Amen.
Number six, number five, the true heart of condition for ministry is found in Galatians 1:10. Who has Galatians 1:10? Galatians 1:10. Well, I'm
not sure you
can. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and take that. And here's Galatians 4:1:10. For do I now pursue or persuade men or God? For if I yet please men, I shall not be a servant of Christ. This is the true heart condition for ministry today. And actually, all throughout the Bible. Do we desire to persuade men or God? There's a lot of man-pleasing in the church. That's probably one of the biggest problems in ministry of people that minister the Word of God, that they are man-pleasers. For if we yet desire to please men, we shall not be a servant of God. And the last point is, this is it's a hard message. It's an offensive message. This message here is a hard, offensive message, but it is the gospel. It is the good news. It is offensive. And Christ is offensive. Amen? Christ is an offense in the world today. And if you really serve God, then you too will be an offense. Because Christ was the chief cornerstone. Amen? He was the chief stone of stumbling. You can see that in 1 Peter 2 and 3, that Christ was the cornerstone and He was the stone of stumbling. Amen. It was a really good time. So let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us today. Amen. You should have your notes right there. The home group meeting for 19 May. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and start in verse 11, and we'll go ahead and see that Paul continues to defend the gospel by defending himself. So Paul, again, the first three or four chapters of the book of Galatians, Paul is taking on the Judaizers, and he's defending himself and his call to ministry. Now, I made a note here, and it's very, very important, that we must be careful when we defend ourselves. Let me say that again. We must be very careful when we defend ourselves, because when you defend yourself, you make the person that you're talking to your judge. Let me say that again. When you defend yourself, and I this, and I that, and this, and that, and you start making excuses and humming, when you do that, then believe it or not, you make that person your judge. So be careful how you defend yourself. Amen? Paul never defended himself by saying this or that. Paul always defended himself by saying God did this and God did that. God was always his defense. Amen?
That's right.
So verse 11 and 12, it says, "But I certified you brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Wow. Paul maintains under oath, he made a solemn oath, that he received his gospel, his message, what God gave him, the good news. Now, it wasn't the gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's not what he received from God, because Paul received being saved by grace through faith. That's what Paul was talking about here. So he received the gospel was not of men, but by revelation of Jesus Christ, and declaring that his gospel, notice Paul's gospel, wow, is not after men. Paul does not merely wish to state that his gospel is not mundane. The false apostles made the same claim for their gospel. And of course, their gospel was the law, coming back under Judaism. Paul means to say that he learned his gospel not in the usual and acceptable manner through the agency of men by hearing and reading or writing. Oh no. He received the gospel, the message that God gave him, the message to the Gentiles, because Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, by special revelation directly from Jesus Christ. Wow. We too must receive what God speaks to us through revelation. Yeah. If you do not receive what God speaks to us through revelation, then we're not receiving that from God. We need to receive what God speaks to us through revelation. Paul received his message of the gospel, wow, on Mount Sinai, the same place, believe it or not, that Moses received the Ten Commandments. Christ did not send Paul to Jerusalem to learn the gospel from the apostles. And we can see that in Acts 15 and even in that timeline chart there. Wow. And you know, I know how quickly a person can forfeit the joy of the gospel. Wow. I know it was a slippery place even then, and stands who shall be have the good footing in the matter of faith. But in the midst of conflict, when we rage all over the conscience, I say the gospel is frail because we are frail. Wow, we are frail. What makes matters worse is that one third of ourself, our own reasoning, stands against us. The flesh resists the spirit, as Paul puts it. The flesh lusts against the flesh. Who has Galatians 5:15 and 17? Okay.
But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another.
Wow.
This I say, that walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other.
Amen.
So that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Now we've got to remember, when Paul was writing these letters to these churches, what we call the Pauline epistles, he was not writing these things as a suggestion or this could happen. Paul was writing this thing to the, these things to the church, because these things were going on in the church. So here in Galatians 5:15, the people were eating one another. They were arguing and complaining, and not physically eating them, but they were just eating, just eating character and just assassinating people's motives, and just they were, and that's what Paul was talking about. Because if you do that, then your flesh is going to rise up. But if you walk in the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the law of the flesh. And that's what Paul was talking about here. Amen? Mm-hmm. Verses 13 and 14, it says, "For ye have learned of my conversation." And that word conversation has nothing to do with talking. That word conversation means behavior or the deeds that we do. Amen? And in the past, and the Jewish religion, but that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. 14, and profited in the Jewish religion above men, my equal is my own nation. So here Paul is becoming honest with the church in Galatia. He was saying that, you know my deeds. What I did, I really wasted the church of God, and it really did. Of course, Paul was, Saul, later became Paul, he was one of the main persecutors of the church, and that always stuck with him. His reputation always stuck with him, and he had a hard time getting the hearts and the confidence of many of the churches in the areas that he went to because of his past. Now, be careful with your past. Be careful with your present, because your present becomes your past. And a lot of people, they have a hard time doing things, even in God, from past mistakes. But here, if anybody ever had reason to glory in the righteousness of the law, and that was Paul, because Paul was being groomed to be maybe the next high priest to replace Gamaliel. But if anybody had the reason to glory in the law, it was Paul. But whatever I did with a single heart to the glory of God. But our opponents, well-fed, idle that they are, will not believe. And many others endured. Verses 14, 15, and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from our mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal the Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So now if you have your little map right here that I gave out, we can see right down here is Arabia, right where my finger is right there. So that's Arabia. So Paul went down into the Arabian Peninsula, and he received his message of God's grace, being saved by God's grace through faith. Amen. Wow. And then he went back to Damascus, and right here is Damascus. It's right here. So this little map here gives us some little geographical reference. Now, what Paul is doing right here, he's laying down how he received his gospel message, how he received the message of grace through faith, and he is sharing that. Wow. Wow. By the favor of God, I, a wicked and cursed, blasphemer, persecutor, and rebel, was spared. Not content to spare me, God granted unto me the knowledge of salvation, his Spirit, his Son, the office of an apostle, everlasting life. Paul speaking, God not only pardoned our iniquities, but additionally overwhelming with his blessings and spiritual truths. Amen? Amen. Who has Hebrews 10, 17 and 18?
I do. 17 and 18?
Yeah.
I didn't get 18. Let me look back. I'm sorry. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Wow. Amen. 17 and 18.
Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering of sin.
Wow. Amen. That's right. That's very good. Amen. Because of his graciousness, God, who shows mercy and to whom he will, pardon all of our iniquities. Now that word iniquities there in Hebrews 10, 17, 18 is not a bad, being bad. We think of the word iniquities, it's bad. That is not what Paul is talking about there. And that's, I believe Paul wrote, Hebrews. But he's talking about the word iniquities there means lawlessness. Lawlessness, or doing things outside of God's plan. Doing things that is not God's purpose. It's not sin, you know, but it's doing things outside of the way God wanted things to be done. So Paul was persecuting the church. He thought he was being religious, but that's not what God wanted him to be doing. He was doing things in iniquity. He was doing all of these things. And God will forgive us of our iniquities. He will forgive us doing things outside of the way that he wants them to be done. In Matthew, it talks about the Christian that was standing in heaven. And he said, but Lord, we did all these mighty works. People were saved and healed, and many miracles were done. And God said, rightly so. But he said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Same word right here in Hebrews 10. Because those miracles and the healings and all of that stuff was done outside of the framework. Outside, it was done in lawlessness, outside of the way that God wanted things to be done. Wow. And so that's what Paul was telling the church in Galatia here, that he was doing all of these things outside, but God gave him grace and God pardoned his iniquities, and now he is a new man. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. Verse 15, what separated me from my mother's womb is, now this is the Greek expression meaning to sacrifice, ordain, and prepare. Paul is saying, when I was yet born, God ordained me to be an apostle, and in time confirmed my apostleship before the world. While I was yet in my mother's womb, where I could neither think or perform any good thing, after I was born, God supported me, heaping mercy upon me. He freely forgave my sin, and relinquishing me from his grace to able to learn what great things that God has for us. To crown it all, he gave me to preach the gospel message. Wow. What a tremendous truth. Remember, they're forgiven. People will be in heaven, amen?
Yeah.
Only forgiven people will be in heaven. And these will be the people that will be useful to God. Only those people that can see the mercies and graces that God has given us will be used by God. Watchman Nee, a tremendous Chinese writer, said this, that the broken alone are useful to God.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. The broken alone, only the broken alone are useful to God. And if God can't break you, if God can't work in your life and break you of things that are not pleasing to him, then God can't use us. The church is full of all kind of people ministering and has never been broken by God.
Right.
They've never allowed God to work in their life and break them and get these areas of sin and all of these things out of their life. Because they're too busy being like Paul, being very religious and doing all of those things. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 15 goes on and says, and called me by his grace. Wow. We are saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Did God call us because of our holy life? No.
Mm-hmm.
On account of our religious training?
Mm-hmm.
No. Or account of our prayers, fasting, and works? A lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe in the mainstream denominational churches believe that they're going to be saved by their works.
Mm-hmm.
No, never happened. Well, then it is certain that God did not call us on account of anything else except for his grace alone.
Yes.
Verse 16, to reveal his son to me. Wow. Unless God can reveal his son to us, he must be able to reveal Jesus Christ to us.
In James it says, in me.
Yeah, in me, that's right. To reveal his son to me. And if God cannot show us who his son is,
right,
then he can't use us. That, I mean, you know, I just, you know, that's just plain, you know, I mean, he has to be able to show Christ to us. We now hear what kind of doctrine was committed to Paul. The doctrine of the gospel, the doctrine of the revelation of the Son of God. This doctrine differs greatly from the Mosaic law. The law terrorizes consciences. The law terrorizes consciences. Now remember, the law has a value. The law brings us to, you know, show us our need for Christ. And that will terrorize us. We will be afraid. We will be afraid God's going to punish us and stuff like that. But that's not the way that grace operates, because the law terrorizes the conscience. The law reveals the wrath and judgment of God. The gospel does not threaten. The gospel announces that Christ is come to forgive the sins of the entire world. The gospel conveys to us the sublime measure treasures of God. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Unless we have had this revelation, unless we've had this revelation of God, God cannot use us. We have to have this revelation right here, the revelation that Paul was saying right here. Anything else will terrorize us. Anything else will terrorize us. Amen? Amen. Verse 16 continues, that I might preach him among the heathens. Now, anytime you see in the New Testament the word heathens, he's always talking about the Gentiles. He's always talking about the Gentiles. Paul said, it pleased God to reveal himself in me. Why? For a twofold purpose, that I personally should believe in the Son of God and that I should reveal him to the Gentiles. So God called him so that he could learn who the Son of God is and so that he could share that truth with the Gentile people. Paul does not mention the Jewish for the simple reason that he was, you know, he was called in knowledge as the apostle of the Gentile. Although he preached Christ also to the Jews. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Paul was a Jew, but he preached to the Gentiles. That is tremendous. Our calling too is to the world. Paul's calling was to the world. And if we are called to minister, then our calling is to the world. Who has Romans 11:13? Romans 11:13.
Is it 11:13 or 10:13?
11:13.
For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles.
Amen.
Gentiles.
So here Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. And Peter had a hard time with that. And that's why Peter always let the Judaizers come in, because Paul and Peter never really saw eye to eye. How about 1 Timothy 2:15? Or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 2:5 and 7.
For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity.
Amen. So here's Paul again, justifying himself and justifying his call to ministry, that he was the apostle to the Gentile. Immediately I confirmed not with flesh and blood. Once Paul received the gospel message from Christ, he conferred with nobody in Damascus. He asked no man to teach him. He did not go up to Jerusalem, sit at the feet of Peter and the other apostles. At once he began to preach Jesus Christ, wow, in Damascus. Now, this is to be the model for us today, believe it or not. This is to be the model. So many people want to get saved and they want to go to Bible school. No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go to Bible school. Unless God tells you to go to Bible school, then you got to go to Bible school. But this is the this is the model for us today. We don't need to go out and buy all these books, and we don't need to go out and buy all these commentaries and learn all of this stuff. We don't need to do that. Wow. This is to be the model for us today. No need to go to Bible school or buy books and commentaries. Just tell people about what God has done for you. Just tell people what God has done for you. Then He will take it from there. So many Christians, they get saved and they want to do all of this stuff. No, you don't need to do all that. All you need to do is go ahead and just love the Lord thy God. Tell people about God and what God has done for you. And step by step, little by little, things will happen in your life. And if you want, if He wants you to go to Bible school, then that will happen. Then that will happen. Verse 17. Neither went I unto Jerusalem to them which was the apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Wow. Wow, wow. This statement refutes the assertion of the false apostles that Peter had pupils of the apostles, from which the false apostles inferred that Paul had been instructed in the obedience of the law, that therefore the Gentiles also ought to keep the law and submit to circumcision. Wow. Mm. But that's not what happened. Mm. Verse 18 and 19. And then after 3 years, so after Paul received this revelation of being saved by grace through faith, for 3 years he preached. For 3 years he preached. Wow. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. So he gave his heart to the Lord. God called him. And when he called him, then he went and preached. And then after 3 years, he went to go see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But others of the apostles saw I none, except for James and the brother of Jesus. Wow. Paul immediately recounted his personal history to stop the evil of the false apostles. Paul did not deny that he had been with some of the apostles. Yes, that's right. He went to Jerusalem uninvited, not to be instructed, but to visit with Peter. Luke reports the occasion in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Barnabas introduced Paul to the apostles and related to them how Paul had met the Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus. Also how Paul had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Paul says that he saw Peter and James, but he denied that he learned anything of them. So why does Peter harp on this seemingly unimportant fact? Well, I will tell you. To convince the churches of Galatia that the gospel was the true word of God, which he learned from Christ himself and from no man. Paul was forced to affirm and reaffirm this fact, his usefulness to all the churches that he had used him and their pastor and teachers. All of that was at stake. All of that was at stake. This time in Jerusalem was not enough. In Acts 15, and we talked about that, Peter speaks with the apostles. In their words, they have to do something with this Paul, with this guy Paul. In Galatians, Peter comes to Antioch and withstood Peter to the face because he was blamed. That was in Galatians 2 and 17. The gospel can be a messy time. Amen? Yeah. The gospel can be a messy time. And so we're going to end it right there tonight, that this is the tremendous truth that Paul was sharing with the church in Galatian, and that was how he was saved and the message and how he got the message of Jesus Christ. And the message that he got is the same message that we got. The same way that Paul was saved is the same way that we are saved. We are saved only one way. There's no other way to be saved. The only way you can be saved is through grace by faith. Any other way, you're not saved. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your mercies, Father. Lord, bless this food to our body. Father, Lord, just bless this word to our body and just, Lord, let us feast upon it, Father, Lord, and just think about what was said tonight, Father. Lord, how do we stack up with that word, Father, Lord? And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. For you're such a good God, Father, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
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 Good word.
You could have left it.